Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So, if the Son of Man makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. So I'm sure you've all heard of the slow movement of Central Americans, many if not mostly Hondurans, I believe, traveling through Mexico toward the U.S. border. Though these folks are concentrated in a group, the numbers don't really amount to anything more significantly different than the ongoing migration of people that have been consistently coming to our borders seeking new life. So nothing significant or materially, statistically new here, except the concentration and the timing. They advance toward the border as we simultaneously advance toward Election Day. So this migration toward the U.S. border becomes a flashpoint and a symbol of the divide that divides our country and the rancor that we experience, a reality, a spirit, which I believe is mirrored throughout much of the world. It is also, this moving group of folks, it's also a living metaphor, a metaphor in history, our current history, for us to ponder in the context of Reformation and in the context of the ancient texts, the words of Jesus and of St. Paul. Jesus says, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Might these travelers, these refugees, these seekers of new life be the truth that is marching toward the boundaries of freedom? Are these who seek new life and freedom those who really offer to set us free in the truth of who they are? And I suggest the truth of the one who travels with them. Might their arrival offer an opportunity for reform, a reformation? Throughout Jesus' ministry, his travels, Jesus was always breaking open the boundaries of the community of God. He welcomed all those who were there to be free. He turned no one away. What he understands and perceives is another kind of slavery, something different from the physical oppression of other human beings, that is the slavery of mind and heart. His listeners, interestingly described as those who believed in him, they're shocked. Jesus' opponents claim freedom on the basis of their ancestry. On that basis alone, no one else gets in. All others are excluded. Now, Jesus does not denigrate our ancestry, our history, our forebears, but understands the tyranny of using ancestry or status or as boundaries to exclude. Jesus understands the damage such an attitude does to those who hold that view. Just think about how the need to protect our ancestry and its purity is consuming our national consciousness, and how it pushes us toward violence. I suggest violence that we heard about and experienced in our land in Pittsburgh recently. Jesus asked his hearers here to abide in his word. I didn't read that. It says continue, but the better translation in the scripture is what John always uses, to abide in Jesus' word. That is to abide in him, to be connected to him, to be related. And they then will be disciples in truth because they will be abiding with all the others with whom Jesus has welcomed into his heart and into the community of God. That's the truth. Jesus' truth is not propositional. That is, it's not based upon knowledge or doctrine. It's not ancestral. It's not legal, as Paul and Luther understood and realized. Jesus' truth is relational. Jesus' truth is based in love, forgiveness, and the promise of life for others. Even Jesus' own sonship is hollow if it's only based upon ancestry, that is, from whence he came, even though it is from God. Jesus' truth, his divinity, lies in the reality that he came for you, for me, for all those travelers, for all who are seeking freedom and life and community and love, for all of us. And the great mystery, which we often and will probably call once again the mystery of faith as we celebrate communion, is the expression of Jesus' truth on the cross. We could say the very fact of the cross. Jesus' word of welcome to all who pray, who seek, who long for freedom, freedom from bondage and death, is opposed by all that is false, all that excludes, all that maintains power at the expense and life of others, all that boasts of ancestry alone, our status, our privileged identity, all that divides and demeans. As Jesus comes to the border and he is rejected, he bears the rejection of all people and the rejection that people, any of us, have practiced against others. Such rejection, such exclusion can only be maintained by force, sending armies to the border, by death. And this is the biggest lie. And it's a lie that we are all asked to believe. It is the lie that Jesus bears in his body upon the cross, but redeems us from this reality through forgiveness. It's striking, it's transforming, it's reforming that as the one who is crucified, Jesus refuses to reject us, even after the very worst. He forgives and offers life through his promise to abide with us. And that abiding is never static. It honors ancestry and tradition, but it is not a slave to these things. For Jesus' truth is always in motion, moving toward the freedom of all from bondage. Might we think then of these migrants in Mexico? Of course, we should also think of all the refugees and the folks that are forced out of their countries due to violence and poverty and fear. All those who are being displaced, but these are in our area, coming our way. Should we not think of them as bringers of truth? They seek, they pray, they long for life. This is the fundamental truth, perhaps the only truth that matters. For surely we trust that Jesus is with them in prayers and in their hope, this future that we all seek and that God promises. Surely Christ travels with them. We are called to be in relationship, one of care and concern, with a view toward life with these bringers of truth. And it is an action, a truth that moves us from being struck in critique alone. I thought, as I've been preaching these last months, A lot of times it's simple to point the finger, and I think it must be pointed and placed where critique is needed. But we are also called to do something more than that. We are called to be God's truth, God's living truth, God's life in the world. The Christ was critical from time to time, but basically what Jesus was up to was challenging the world by embracing the lost. That is our calling, I believe, as well. It is a place where Jesus' truth and deepest truth of our nation, it is a place where Jesus' truth and the deepest truth of our nation coincide. Politically, even materially. I don't know if that means that everyone should be admitted or how that might happen. But what I am sure of is that we should be receiving all at our gates with compassion. We should look upon them with compassion, which may then be a willingness of ourselves to suffer. Perhaps that means a sharing of wealth, a sharing of identity, a reformation, a return to the truth. As I was speaking to my confirmation class, I believe they spoke the truth. They said, we have space. We have room to receive these folks. We have wealth. It's not a matter of wealth or space. It's a matter of heart. It's a matter of truth. It's a matter of calling. And maybe it's a matter that we suffer a little. Abiding in this sense might be like the church's understanding of the Reformation, as always reforming. Abiding Reformation, again, is never static, but always leading into the future, because there we encounter new life. There we encounter those who hope for life. There we encounter the truth of our own lives. There we encounter the truth made flesh. Amen.